It is a bright, sunshiny day, isn't it? I think it's brighter in here than it is out there. That's a good thing. That always comes from great fellowship together, especially as we gather to worship the Lord. We have been, over the last several weeks, looking at the lives of Moses and Joshua, looking at some leadership kinds of things with them, all in an effort to help us to look at their examples to help us as we're striving to be a church of excellence. Now, when we're looking at Moses, we looked at four different lessons with Moses. First of all, looking at the situation of him fleeing in fear. We looked at him there at the burning bush, making excuses to God as to why he wasn't the right one for the job. We looked at Moses there with the water at the rock, as he struck the rock instead of speaking to it as the Lord had commanded him. And then last week we talked about Moses in the tent of meeting and his face that shined whenever he was with the Lord and speaking with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. This morning we begin a three lesson series. We continue this thing. We're going to look at three different parts in the life of Joshua. Okay, again, looking at, what are some of the things about Joshua in his leadership that we can learn to help us as we're striving to be this church of excellence. So today we begin in this series of lessons talking about no left turns, okay? And by the way, there's no right turns either. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. First of all, we need to talk about flexing our muscles, okay? Everybody kind of do like this, okay? All right, yeah, you know how to flex your muscles, all right? Well, Joshua needed to do that also, and that was one of the things that God wanted Joshua to understand. If you go back to the text in Joshua chapter 1 that Rick read for us, beginning in verse 6, notice the instructions that God gives to Joshua. Now, understand that the point where we are at is that, Moses, because of his disobedience, as we saw in our earlier lesson, was not allowed to lead the Israelite people into the promised land. He wasn't even allowed to go himself. So Moses has gone up on Mount Nebo and he died there. And now it's Joshua's turn to lead the people. Now, keep in mind, remember, this is the same Joshua that 40 years before had gone into the wilderness with 11 other spies, to check out the land for the Israelites, that original generation that had left Egypt for them to enter into the promised land. And remember that it was Joshua and another one of those spies by the name of Caleb who out of the 12 spies gave a good report. Remember the song that we sing all the time, 12 men went to spy out Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right. Well, Joshua and Caleb were the two good ones, okay? And now, 40 years later, Joshua stands at the helm, leading the Israelite people into that promised land. And it's as he's getting ready to do that God gives him these instructions that I think are some very good instructions for us also. Especially as we think about the task that we have of leading other people to Christ. Okay? So notice what God says to him. First of all, he says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Now look at the beginning of verse 7. Okay? "Be strong and very courageous." Okay? Not just courageous, but very courageous. Joshua's getting ready to do the Lord's task. Skip down to verse 9 and look at what he says here. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. What do you think the message is that God wants Joshua to understand here? That he wants him to flex his muscles, be strong and courageous. You see? Now, we need to understand, though, what is the basis for Joshua to do that? In other words, why should Joshua be strong and courageous? Why is God giving him these instructions? Joshua, you need to be strong and you need to be very courageous. Well, why should Joshua be so courageous? Look at what the Lord says to him. Do not be afraid. This is the rest of verse 9. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any reason that you can think of as to why Joshua should not be strong and courageous when he's got the Lord that's saying, I'm going to be with you wherever you go? I can't think of a reason, Zay. I can't think of a reason at all. And that's why the Lord is telling Joshua, look, you don't have to worry. I'm going to be with you. So I want you to flex your muscles and get ready to go to work. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now it seems to me that the Lord has given instructions similar to that to you and I today. And you're going, wait a minute, Russ, where is that? How about Matthew chapter 28? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Wow! Doesn't that kind of make you, at least it should, make us feel confident like Joshua? When God is telling us basically to do the same thing. I want you to flex your muscles because I've got work for you to do. You see, God has given us the same task that He gave to Joshua. That is to lead people to the promised land. Isn't that not right? When we lead people to Christ, is that not leading them to His rest, the promised land? And God has given us that very same task. And not only did He give us that task, but He gave us the same promise that He gave to Joshua. I will be with you to the very end of the age. So therefore, you need to flex your muscles. You need to be strong and courageous. You need to be very strong and very courageous. And we need to, as we try to share the gospel with other people and to teach them, we need to make sure that we're not terrified, that we don't get discouraged. Why? Because He's going to be with us to the very end of the age. God is with us the same as He was with Joshua, as Joshua led those people into the promised land. And we're going to talk more about that aspect of it in an upcoming lesson. But now, in the process of this leading, there is an important factor that God wanted Joshua to make sure he understood also. Okay? And that's where we come to that no left turn. Go back over to verse 7, the second part of verse 7. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So, thus, no left turns. No right turns. Go straight. You see? Go straight. We need to pay attention to the signs. Okay? Now, I know most of you in here are of the driving age. There's a few of you that I worry about. Okay? But you drive down the road. Yeah, Chris knows I'm talking about him. He's back there grinning from ear to ear. When you're driving down the road, there are all these signs out there, right? And the signs are there for you to pay attention to. Okay? So if you're driving down the road and you come to an intersection and there's a sign that says right lane must turn right, okay, what are you supposed to do if you're in the right lane? You're supposed to turn right, okay? There's some people that haven't figured that out yet. I see them drive straight through the intersection all the time, okay? And then there's those other signs that'll say, no left turn, okay? Well, you're not supposed to turn left there, although a lot of people turn left at those signs. And what do? They've got traffic all blocked up behind them, waiting for them to get out of the way. And that's the times when I have the most difficulty when I'm driving, and that M word just seems to come out of my mouth. You morons. I fight that battle all the time. I'm just being honest with you, okay? But it's because people are not paying attention to the signs. Now, you might get away with that. If you're driving, you're one of those people that turns right when you're not supposed to, or you don't turn right, or you turn left when you're not supposed to, you don't pay attention to the signs, you might get away with that. And then again, you might have someone, you know, like some of my buddies out there, or like my son back there, who will stop you because they saw you doing it, and they'll write you a ticket for it. And then you have to pay the fine or whatever, right? You're not going to get away with turning left or turning right with God. Okay? Here's the sign right here. He says, no left turn, no right turn. And you can make a left turn if you want. You can make a right turn, but you're not going to get away with it. You see? Because why? God is with you all the time. Okay? It's kind of like having a policeman riding in the car with you. Okay? You're not going to get away with it. God knows everything because He's with us all the time. Isn't that what we just saw He promised? I'll be with you to the very end of the age. So when God says, don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right, be sure that you keep all the law that I gave you, that I gave Moses. How much of it does He expect us to keep? All of it. Not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ. He expects us, just like He did Joshua, to keep all of the law. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. That means in those times, that, and I've heard a lot of people say this, maybe some of you have said, I know what the Bible says, but... Wait a minute. Isn't that a left turn? You see? When we know what the Bible says, but we're going to do what we want to do anyway, isn't that the same thing as a left or a right turn when we're supposed to be going straight? And God says, no left turns. No right turns. Keep straight. You see? And why does He give us that instruction? Look at what He says. The very next thing is that you may be successful in whatever you do. You see, what we need to understand is our being successful is all about God's business. Okay? It's not about our business. It's about God's business. That's what we should be about. Okay? And if we want to be successful in doing and accomplishing God's work, then we need to do what God tells us to do. Isn't that? That's kind of easy, isn't it? You see? But God promises, if you do this, you will be successful. See? Well, why is that so important for us to emphasize? Because, you see, we tend as human beings and even as followers of God to make all these excuses, just like we saw Moses doing a few weeks ago, as to why we can't share the gospel with people and why we can't lead people to Jesus. You see? we're afraid of failure in one way or another, aren't we? That's why we don't do it. They're going to stop liking me. They're going to ridicule me. They're going to fire me. They're going to this. They're going to that. Whatever it is, we're afraid to fail at doing what God told us to do. When God has said, if you keep to the, you keep right, you don't turn to the left, you don't turn to the right, you keep right, you will be successful. And that's what we've got to understand. Do we believe that or do we not? See? And Satan just keeps throwing in there, I know what it says, but. Right? No right turns, no left turns. You see, the thing we've got to understand is that God takes His Word seriously. Okay? If you turn over to Galatians chapter 1, turn over there real quickly, and we're going to come back here. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine somebody trying to do that? Yeah. Happening all around us. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. And as if that was not emphasis enough, he repeats it. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. John the Revelator in chapter 22, at the end of his revelation, wrote concerning the words in that book, the words of Jesus, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. How seriously do you think God takes His Word? The Apostle Paul warned Timothy, the preacher, as he encouraged him to keep on preaching the Word no matter what. He said, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. Folks, we've got plenty of that happening today. Because people have turned to the left, and if I may use the political, you know, associations with that, there are those who have gone to the left and are just willing to allow anything. We call it liberal. They are just anything and everything. God's a loving God, and everybody's going to go to heaven. He's going to save everybody, and blah, 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 blah. That's left. That's a left turn. But then there are those to the right who are saying they're binding things legalistically on folks that God never bound. And that's a right turn. Which one of those is more acceptable to God? See, those who tend to think of themselves as more right, we go, a bunch of liberals over there on the left. And those who are left go, a bunch of conservatives. When God says, I don't want you to turn to the right or to the left. Either one. Right or left. Either one. Keep straight. So we've got to flex our muscles and we've got to keep straight. Now, here's a question for you. What's in your mouth? Now, as parents, you got little children, you know, you ask that question a lot, don't you? You know, we're chasing little Ben around, you know, and he's going, what's in your mouth? What's he got in his mouth? Yeah, your moms, you're laughing about it, you know. How many times you reach in there and go, what is that? before they swallow it, and you want to get it out of there, and you find out and go, ooh, I'm glad he didn't swallow that. Well, when it comes to God's Word, we need to be concerned about what's in our mouth. Isn't that what he's telling Joshua right here? Go back over to Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 8. He says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Do not let it depart from your mouth. So you see, it really is important as to what's in your mouth. And the answer should be, if someone says, what's in your mouth? God's Word. Say, God's Word's in my mouth. Say, that's what it should be. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything within it. The Apostle Paul would say almost the same thing. He put it this way, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Okay. What's in your mouth? Is it God's Word? Okay. Are you meditating on it day and night so that you can be careful to do everything that's in it? And you see, then again, there's that promise that just like if we don't turn to the left and we don't turn to the right and we stay straight, and if we're careful that we keep God's Word in our mouth, He promises us to be successful in what we're doing. Okay. Now, I want you to be thinking about it in terms of us striving to be a church of excellence. As we are striving to bring other people to the Lord, that's our primary job, is it not? The same job that Joshua had, bring people into the promised land, as I mentioned earlier, our job is to bring people to the promised land of salvation. Okay? Are we flexing our muscles? Are we strong and courageous? Not fearing what the world is going to do, but knowing that God is with us. When we're doing that, then we are moving more and more towards the kind of church of excellence that God wants us to be. Are we making sure that the direction that we're going is not straying to the left and not straying to the right, but keeping on God's path of His Word? And are we careful to make sure that what's in our mouth is God's Word? Okay? And by the way, I won't charge anything extra for this, okay? This is just something jumped in my head from the Holy Spirit, I believe, okay? All right? I think that part of that could possibly be the whole idea of how much easier it is for us to talk about football or baseball or barbecue. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, or about work or about whatever else it is in our life. How much easier is it for us to talk about all of those things and it is for us to talk about the Lord. What's in your mouth? Okay? As we strive to be a church of excellence, we can find that, find ourselves moving closer to that as we think about these kinds of things and learn this lesson from what God gave to Joshua as he prepared to lead the people into the promised land. Okay? To help us to be more of what God wants us to be as individuals and as a church. In your life, as you go from here and you go home and you go to work, you go to school, you go wherever it is that you're going to go today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, where would you find yourself in this particular lesson about Joshua? Would you find yourself maybe instead of being strong and courageous, being fearful? Would you find yourself maybe making a lot of left turns and maybe a lot of right turns instead of following God's way? Would you find yourself that maybe what's in your mouth is not God's word? If any of those situations apply to you this morning, then I got great news for you. You've been doing battle with Satan. That's the reason for that. But you can find help and strength and encouragement to defeat him right now this morning. If we can help you to deal with any of those things, anything that's going on in your life, to be more of what God wants you to be, that's what we want to do this morning. The invitation is open to you. Ted's going to come up and lead a song for us in just a moment. And the invitation is open for you to be able to find the strength you need to be more of what God wants you to be. If there's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, if you've not given your life to Christ, then I got great news for you. The opportunity is available for you right now, at this moment, for you to give your life to Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as such. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that has been separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you have to do is come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Let's stand together and sing.